Before we get into the sermon, let's ask the Lord to bless the going out of his word today. Almighty God, we're here in this house of worship this morning. We ask you to be with us in a mighty way. We're going to be talking about some things that I'm sure will be encouraging to some, and Lord, are going to stomp all over the toes of some others. So I just pray that this message would be received in the spirit in which it is intended, not to attack anybody, but just to give a little admonition, a little correction where it's needed. And Lord, help us all to do better in this particular area I'm going to be preaching about this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm here once again to share some truth with you. Let me lay this on you this morning in case you haven't been paying attention. This world that we live in, it's an angry place. Everywhere you look, somebody's mad about something. And you know what makes anger so dangerous is that it often flares up suddenly, powerfully, and very irrationally. It takes no consideration of the consequences of its actions. Now, the Bible speaks about both sinless or righteous anger and sinful anger. But I don't think you got to be looking very hard to find out that the sinful kind is a whole lot more common in our society today. And that brings us to the title of our message this morning, Be Angry and Sin Not. Yeah, that's them. That's right. Our text is Ephesians 4, verses 26 through 32. I'm going to start off by telling you a story. Back in the early 1970s, a young American piano player was giving a concert in the ballroom of the fanciest hotel in Bangkok. Now, he'd only been playing a few minutes when the excessive humidity in Thailand caused the D key of his treble clef to repeatedly get stuck. Now, this created quite a problem for this young guy because two of the major selections that he had planned to play were in the keys of D major and D minor. Hard to do that without a D, isn't it? Now, this created a problem, like I said, because he couldn't play in the keys that he had planned to play. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, the stool, which was one of them spinning kind, it had been so enthusiastically greased by hotel staff that during one of the more vigorous sections of a number he was doing, he spun all the way around and was actually facing the audience rather than facing the piano. About this time, he decided, well, you know, the D key over here is not working. I'm just going to improvise and I'll switch and play another selection in the key of G minor, at which time the G key in his bass clef began to stick. Now, the guy is so frustrated by this, he's trying to free these keys up by kicking the bottom part of the piano. The only thing he succeeded in doing was breaking one of the right leg off of the thing. And then the piano fell down. It's such a crazy, he couldn't play it at all. So he stood up, bowed before the audience, and walked off stage. But they hadn't seen the last of this young man. About a minute later, he shows up with the hotel's fire axe, and he starts just chopping this piano to bits. Well, a couple of ushers and the hotel manager heard what was going on. And when they saw this guy destroying their piano, they ran and got hotel security and a policeman that was actually walking by the front of the hotel. They wrestled this guy to the ground and finally drug him off of the stage. As I said just a minute ago, this world is an angry place. Consider a recent classified ad in the newspaper. Wedding dress for sale, never worn. Will trade for 38 caliber revolver. The late pastor, author, and seminary professor Calvin Miller said this, anger is a towering Goliath that most of us never conquer. And with maddening consistency, anger dodges the little pebbles that we put in our slingshots to slay it. Somebody else has said that anger is an acid that does more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to the person on whom it is poured. And we all know that while anger may do some harm to the one who is the object of its wrath, ultimately, the person that hurts worst is the person who's filled with the anger to begin with. Now, considering that, we've got a statement in Ephesians 4:26 that might surprise you. This verse starts off by saying, this is King James, "Be ye angry and sin not." That means there are times when anger is acceptable in the eyes of God, but we need to make sure that we don't try to use those times as an opportunity to let sin creep into our lives. That brings us to our first point, recognizing sinless anger. You ever heard the term righteous indignation? Well, that's just another way of saying sinless anger. But is that really possible? I mean, can a person be angry in a way that is not sinful? The quick answer to that is yes. And we don't have to look any further for an example than to the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we do that, I want to clear one thing up about this particular verse. It is not giving you permission to vent your anger so you can get rid of it. That's not what the verse means at all. In fact, we're told in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, "My dear brothers," take note of this, "everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." Again, Psalm 37, verse 8, "Refrain from anger and turn from wrath." So what is Paul talking about here in Ephesians 4 when he says, "Be angry and sin not"? How can you be angry without sin? Well, let's look at an example from the Gospels. On a number of occasions, if you read the Gospel accounts carefully, Jesus expressed anger. On one occasion, he expressed a lot of anger. But even then, it wasn't anger from a volatile spirit. It wasn't anger brought about by a bad temper or hostility. The anger that he showed was carefully thought out. And it was at something that he witnessed, not something that happened to him. More on that in a minute. This event is recorded for us in John chapter 2. And beginning, I believe, in verse 14, we're told, "In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle and sheep and doves and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and he drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables." So here we have Jesus. He comes into the temple. He sees that people are abusing one of the most holy times of year in the most holy place on the face of the earth that time, the temple of the Lord, as an occasion to rip people off and make money, and he gets angry. He fashions a cord out of whips and he drives them all out of the temple. He kicks their tables over and he runs them out. Now, how is this any different from the anger that you and I display? Here's the key. Jesus' anger was never about anything that happened to him. It was never about his own stuff. When Jesus got angry, it was always about the abuses and wrongdoings and lack of justice that he saw going on all around him. And you know what? We need more of that kind of anger in our country today. We seem to have become so accepting of all the wrongdoing that we see, and we don't say a word. Terrible abuses, injustices going on all around us, and no anger is expressed. There is a righteous anger. There is a sinless anger. But remember, if you're angry about something that's been done to you, that's not sinless anger. But if you're angered by abuse and injustice that you see going on all around you happening to other people, then that's an anger that you should be free to express. Christian leader John Stott said this: "There is room for righteous anger in the life of a Christian. Be angry with evil, not tolerant of it. Be angry with sin, not indifferent to it." The great philosopher Aristotle, now this goes back a ways, he said it like this: "A man who is angry on the right grounds, against the right person, in the right manner, at the right moment, and for the right length of time, deserves to be praised. And you know that's true. So we have to recognize that there is a sinless type of anger, but don't confuse that with venting your own anger on somebody, because that type of anger is not condoned in the scriptures. That brings us to our next point, which is renouncing sinful anger. See, just as there is a type of anger that is sinless, there's another type that's sinful. And as I've already said, it's a lot more common today. Let's go back to Ephesians 4. Let me read for you verses 26 and 27 in their entirety. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. You say, well, hey, how am I supposed to do that? Here's a little bit of an answer for you in verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Now, sinful anger is what most of us have to deal with, and these are the things that they seem to creep into our spirit and make us angry. So today, I'm going to do my best to give you some help in how to deal with this kind of anger, because like I said, it's something we all deal with. Yeah, even me. The first point you want to consider when learning to overcome or renounce your sinful anger is that when you feel the urge to really get angry about something, over something that somebody has done or failed to do on your behalf, make a commitment that you are not going to nurse your anger. Second part of Ephesians 4:26 is, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Friend, don't take your anger to bed with you. Get rid of it before the end of the day. The old female comedian Phyllis Diller had a little different understanding of this verse. She said, never go to bed mad, stay up and fight. Now, that's not what the Apostle Paul is talking about here, but that's what a lot of people do. And see, if you're not careful, you actually begin to hang on to that anger and nurse it until the point where you actually begin to enjoy it. See, there's something about being angry at another person that gives us a feeling of superiority over them. And when we let our anger, when we allow it to go that far, it can be really hard to turn loose of. So let every day at sundown be a reminder to you that if you got an angry spirit with somebody, do your best to resolve that before you go to bed. Because when our anger is allowed to be nursed and coddled in our spirits and souls, it never gets better. It never goes away. It only gets worse. Now, so don't nurse your anger. The next point is, don't rehearse your anger. You ever been around anybody who loves to tell you how angry they are? I mean, you don't even have to ask the person, hey, man, how you doing? Because before you can say, hey, how you doing, they're already telling you why they're all ticked off at somebody. And furthermore, not only do they tell you how mad they are, they tell you this, yeah, and next time I see that guy, I'm going to say this and this and this, and I'm going to do this. They're rehearsing that anger in their heart. Biblical counselor Henry Brandt, he wrote on the topic of anger, and he said, people are always saying, you make me so angry. And then he said, nobody can make you angry. You're already angry. They just bring it out in you. And see, when you rehearse that, when you allow it to become the subject of all your conversations, all you're doing is digging those grooves deeper and deeper into your mind, deeper and deeper into your spirit, and you're making this thing that has caused you to be angry in the first place bigger than life until it dominates you to such an extent you can't live without that being part of your daily conversation. So don't rehearse your anger. The next point is, don't converse about your anger. Now, you might think, well, that's just exactly what you just said. It's the same. No. It is similar. But here's what this means. Don't let your mouth, that is your speech, be responsible for promoting anger. Ephesians 4:29. Check this verse out. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. You know the word translated unwholesome here? In our text, it comes from the Greek word that means cutting. So, in effect, Paul is saying, don't let any cutting remark come out of your mouth. But you know, in our society today, cutting people down with our words, it's become almost like an indoor sport, hasn't it? There's an awful lot of that going on, but there's no room in that. There's no room for that in a real Christian's vocabulary, because cutting remarks oftentimes cause very long-term problems that don't go away. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath; a harsh word stirs up anger." Now, there's one more thing I want to mention here before we move on to our next point. How many of you realize that when you hang out with angry people, before very long, you begin to pick up some of their habits? Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 5 say, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." So I'm going to caution you, stay away from people that are angry all the time, because it's difficult to hang around with somebody like that day after day and not start copying some of their behavior. You say, "Well, Pastor, what if I'm married to him?" Well, in that case, I'll pray for you, and I suggest that you pray a lot too. Now, the next point we want to consider is, don't disperse your anger. Look again at Ephesians 4:31. "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." Friends, don't express your anger just because you feel like it. Proverbs 19:11 says, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression." So when we disperse our anger, when we pour it out, flat out, we're sinning. Now, the way we do it might appear to be more grown up or more sophisticated, but in reality, when you do that, you're just like a little spoiled kid throwing a temper tantrum. And so the Bible teaches that if you really want to renounce your anger, if you want to overcome your sinful anger, you don't nurse it, you don't rehearse it, you don't converse about it, you don't disperse it. What do? You reverse it. Now, how do we reverse our anger? Ephesians 4:32 is the key. That verse says that we are to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Go to the person who's made you angry and reverse that anger by doing something good for them. Romans chapter 12 and verse 20 says, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head." See, we reverse anger by doing good to the one who has hurt us. And hey, believe me, I get this. That is not an easy assignment. But whoever told you being a Christian was easy? If somebody told you that, they were lying. As I was preparing for this message, I did run across a little story about one of my all-time favorite pastors, Dr. David Jeremiah, that he told on the topic of anger. He was about to turn in to a McDonald's drive-thru, and he said there was a lady coming from the other direction who was also turning in. Well, he got there and turned in, and he meant her no ill will, but she got it in her mind that he had intentionally cut her off, and she began to scream and cuss and honk the horn. She was absolutely furious sitting there in the drive-thru line behind Dr. David Jeremiah. He said, "She rolled down her window and gave me a piece of her mind that she couldn't afford to do without. She shouted some obscenities at me that I had not heard in a long time. And she also used a few hand gestures that I had not seen a woman do in a very long time." She continued to scream and honk the horn. So there he is. He's in line. He's got this woman behind him going nuts. He says, "Friends, I confess to you that I locked my doors." And as he approaches the window to pick up his food, he says, "You know, I got this wonderful thought. I paid for the food and asked the cashier, how much is the food for that lady behind me? I want to pay for it." And the cashier said, "Oh, that's nice. Is she a relative of yours?" He said, nah. So he paid for the woman's food, and as he's pulling forward, he goes, I was just about to leave, but my carnal spirit forced me to stop and adjust my rearview mirror so I could watch how this woman reacted when she found out the guy that she'd just been screaming and cussing at paid for her dinner. He said, when the cashier told her what I had done, I could tell she was completely dumbfounded. She didn't know what to do. She probably went home and talked about that for days. Now, in this case, there was no doubt in Dr. Jeremiah's mind that this woman was angry with him. But let me call your attention to something that's a lot more common. You know, oftentimes when we're angry at somebody, the person we're angry at doesn't even know it. We're walking around all chewed up, can't eat, can't sleep. They're not even being affected by it. So how do we reverse this anger, man? How do we get rid of it? The scriptures say we do it with loving kindness and tenderness and forgiveness. Forgive that person. Go try to do something nice for them. Release that anger and reverse it by doing what the Word of God tells you to do. You say, hey, man, that's not natural. You're right. It's supernatural. Supernatural. And as you love God and submit your life to Him more and more, He will enable you to do these supernatural things. Now, granted, it's not easy. But if you do that, I can promise you on the authority of the Word of God that you will discover the anger inside of you. It's going to begin to drain away. But you know, some of you folks, you've been angry for so long, you don't even know how to live any other way. Some people hold on to their anger because it gives them a reason to get up in the morning. Now, if that sounds like you, I'm going to share one final story with you. This is a true story. Some of you may have read the book entitled The 16th Round. Others of you may have seen the movie starring Denzel Washington, simply entitled The Hurricane. These are true stories about a boxer whose name was Reuben Hurricane Carter. He was wrongly convicted of 3 murders. He was completely innocent, and yet he was sent to prison for more than 2 decades. Finally, his innocence was proven, and he was released, and the man won his freedom. Now, let me tell you something. I don't know what you've been through. But if any man ever had a reason, a legitimate reason, to be filled with hate and anger and bitterness, it was Reuben Carter. The man was locked away for 22 years for something he never did. But let me read you an excerpt from a speech he gave after his release from prison. He said, "The question inevitably arises, as it has before, and I'm sure will again. Reuben, are you bitter?" And in answer to that, I will say that the most productive years of my life, from the ages of 29 to 50, have been stolen from me. I was deprived of seeing my children grow up. Wouldn't you think that I have a right to be bitter? Wouldn't anyone under those circumstances have a right to be bitter? In fact, it would be very easy for me to be bitter, but that has never been my nature. It has never been my lot to do things the easy way. If I have learned anything in my life, I have learned that bitterness only consumes the vessel that contains it. And for me to permit anger or bitterness to control my life in any way would be to allow those who imprisoned me to take more than the 22 years they've already taken. And that would make me an accomplice to their crime, wouldn't it? That is an unbelievably powerful quote and statement of forgiveness. You know, Reuben Carter walked out of the prison that day, not just free, but free of the people who put him there unjustly. Friends, you overcome sinful anger by reversing it and releasing it to God. And when you do that, you can walk away from it and it'll be gone. You're free. Now, as we prepare to close up this morning, let me tell you, if you have anger or bitterness towards somebody, why don't you just release it today? Just release it to God right now. What better place could you be than here in the house of the Lord to do something like that? Pray a little prayer, mean it from your heart, and say, God, I'm tired of being angry all the time at this person. I don't want to be bitter anymore. Help me to forgive this person. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sinful anger. Friend, if you'll take that step, God will faithfully respond. And you'll experience the kind of peace that can only come to your soul from knowing that you're not holding on to that sinful anger any longer. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, anger seems to be the default emotion for so many of us. It is something that many of us, myself included, need help with. Father, I pray that the words that we looked at from the Bible this morning would not just be something that these people heard and forget about, but something that would really penetrate deeply into their hearts and minds and give them something to think about and consider. Help us not to be a prisoner to our own angry spirit. Lord, free us from this that we might have peace in our lives. Dear God, I ask your blessing upon every man, woman, and child here in your house this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to knit Woodburn Bible Church together into a tighter and tighter group of people who love one another with true biblical love. Bring confusion to our enemy, the devil, Lord. Do not let him infiltrate our ranks, either from the outside or the inside. We'll be careful to give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. And we'll be happy to do that for you. Let's go ahead and bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.